Okay, welcome once again. This is the month five investable ETR briefing, which covers the trading period from the 1st of May to the 30th of May. As the briefing document explains, exchange traded receivables are leases, monetary obligations, or bills issued under contract for assets, goods, and services that are supplied to investment quality companies, or credit insured invoices from investment grade insurers. So what this means is that an ETR is evidence of a debt owing from one company to another. Typically, these tend to be large companies that are household names, and they owe money to their smaller micro to medium sized suppliers. We call these micro to medium sized supplier businesses originators because they originate the debt obligation transactions that create the ETR that are traded on the exchange. The ETR is evidence of the large company's liability, the smaller one, and credit exchange buy these ETR at a nominal discount to their face value. In doing so, when the ETR are settled or paid in full, the difference between the face value that is settled and the discount that it was purchased for creates a margin, that is the margin that creates a yield or return for investors. So credit exchange also provides credit facilities to other types of transactions, such as trade finance, asset finance, and others. Essentially, they all work on the same principle that the traded ETR is a business transaction. The exchange provides the liquidity and is paid a commission for it, much in the same way a bank charges interest. Okay, as the briefing states, at the end of May, credit exchange held active RSA of 22.43 million, and this is almost 7 million lower than it was in April. The RSA stands for Revolving Sale Agreement. A revolving sale agreement is a document or contract between the micro to medium sized business or the originator and credit exchange. The revolving sale agreement is a commitment by the originator to sell a certain value of ETR to the exchange in any given period. Usually this is for 1 year. So let's say, for example, an originator needs a revolving credit facility of $250,000 in order to run their business. They will come to us, much like they would to a bank, and apply for that credit facility. If we agree to offer them the $250,000 on a revolving basis every 60 days, they must agree to sell us €250,000 worth of ETR every 60 days, or 1.5 million worth of ETR every 12 months. This commitment to sell 1.5 million of ETR annually to the exchange is documented in their revolving sale agreement, or RSA. And as stated, at the end of May, credit exchange held 22.43 of these active RSA contracts. So this was a sharp decline of 7 million. And from previous month of April, and is a culmination of several prior months that all compounded in May. Suffice to say, the deep decline in May has been met with a sharp increase in June, whereby in week 24 alone, the exchange recorded its largest value of trades in a single week, that coincidentally was in excess of 7 million of trade. So in other words, almost all COVID-19 related trading issues that peaked in May have almost been entirely washed out of the system already by mid-June. There may be some surprises in the long tail, but we don't expect them to be significant. The briefing then goes on to say that there was 26.78 million fully allocated. And this was also down on April's figures of 28 million, so almost 2.5 million down between May and April. This returned us back, funnily enough, to our May figures that we achieved in 2019. What this fully allocated figure means is that on the 31st of May, the exchange held ETR valued at 26.78 million, or said another way, there was 26.78 million of investors' funds in the market on the last day of May. From a query we received earlier on these figures, let me explain that the 26.78 million in the market is separate to the RSA we held of 22.43 million. So the RSA of 22.43 million represents future orders we have in our books, but we have not yet filled or traded these. So when you add these two figures together, they represent a total of more than 49 million. Moving to the next figure, it states that the investors redeemed just over 90,000 euro of their funds in May, meaning they withdrew 90,000 during last month. Again, if you recall, there was an unusually large amount of withdrawals in March, due mainly to cash calls on bond and equity trades in other unrelated markets to credit exchange. And these were caused by the coronavirus panic mid-month in March. For those of you unfamiliar with the distinction, the vast majority of the investors on credit exchange are retail investors. Retail investors are referred to as by financial advisors or intermediaries. So credit exchange will not take funds from a member of the public without them being properly advised by a recognized investment advisor, like many of you on this call. There are, however, a select few professional investors that come directly to us without the need for an intermediary because we have vetted them and approved them as such. And it was that latter group of professional investors that withdrew the significant funds in March. So the 90,000 redemptions in May was made by four or five retail investors that are clients of some of the intermediaries on this call. As stated in our COVID-19 briefing, the economic crisis has actually been good for investable ETO investors. And this brings me to focus on the presentation of the ETR average duration figure of 115 days. We call this ETR average duration the credit index, and it is our measure of the average time it takes for an ETR to get settled. In other words, from the day the ETR is issued, traded and purchased by us, to the number of days it takes for the debt to be extinguished or settled, meaning return to cash. So in March, the credit index hit an all-time high of 117 days. It dropped down to 107 in April and has risen again in May to, as you can see, 115. So if you compare this to May 2019, when the credit index was 83 days, this means on average it took 83 days for ETR to settle, and that ETR was settling roughly five times a year. At 115, it means that the ETR are still only settling roughly three times a year. So in simple terms, as was the case last month and the month before, an originator needing a revolving credit facility of 100,000 euro in order to run their business last year now needs a facility of around 160,000 to run the same business this year, so 60% more than they needed last year. That being the case, if originators need more finance, then the exchange needs more investor funds to meet originator demand. To repeat what I've been saying since the start of the year, our January forecast showed a strong growth in the exchange's business during 2020, and notwithstanding the negatives of coronavirus on our market, there has been many positive effects, and those predictions from January hold firm to June to today. As some of you may recall from the conference call back in April, I quoted Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, from his FOMC briefing at the end of April, when he was asked questions about the state of the economy. He said there was high unemployment, personal consumption expenditures have declined sharply, business investments as well, and that we're going to see economic data for the second quarter, i.e. the one that we're in today, where he predicted that this will be the worst than any data we've seen for the economy. And this appears to be a statement that it would be the worst economic data ever recorded. You may also remember on that day, from a source we've been unable to corroborate, there was an announcement that 68% of the world's workforce were not working at the end of April. Anyway, we think it's very important to remind you that with two-thirds of the workforce not working, against that background, naturally our numbers were going to be off, but we are still trading relatively well, moderately compared to last year. But as stated earlier, recovery has been rapid, and we're back on target to be near, if not to reach, our 2020 forecast from January. That forecast in itself was rather ambitious, at a 75% increase on 2019 figures. This will also help explain why, as in April, there was another decrease in trade value in the month end. As it states in the ETO briefing, we only traded 5.85 million in the month of May. So without laboring the point, the trade was off its norm. This means we purchased new ETO with a total face value of 5.85 million in May. So despite our strong first quarter, this second drop brought our figures in May to the same levels that they were in 2018-2019 for the same month of May. Given Mr. Jerome Powell's comments, I think we remain thankful that our numbers are positive at all. Moving on, below that month's trading figure, you will see that in the same period, Treasury performance was 7 million. This means that we spent almost 6 million in the month of May and collected 7 million. As you know, we monitored this to ensure the balance of funds in versus funds out remained stable and within the control parameters set down by Trade Desk and Treasury. That's slightly lopsided spread and means we're over cashed for the month. And as per last month's briefing, we predicted a repeat for the month of May, and we have performed as predicted. The reversal in June was sharp to the positive, and new originator deal closings have risen sharply as predicted in the month of June. So a good and fast recovery there. Moving to the center of the document is where we list the 10 largest investable ETO holdings and the top rated holdings. Also, these two lists show what companies or organizations owed the exchange the largest amounts of money as at the 31st of May. And as you can see, the HSE and Huawei continue to hold the top slots for the fourth consecutive month. Tzu Yu Tun Tzu also remained in the top 10 with repeated appearances of Atreides, Wells Fargo, Vodafone, CBRE, and others. To the right of that, the highest rated debtors are listed, regardless of the amount of their liability. As none of these were investment grade or have investment grade ratings on the 31st of May, as with last month, this is simply a selection of the most creditworthy ones. Moving to the pie chart below, these listings continues to demonstrate a significant change in the typically well-diversified spread of ETO across the market. The current health pandemic continues to show that the HSE here in Ireland and the NHS in England, along with others in the health and community sector, were slightly less last month than they were in April, but still nonetheless are more than 25% of our overall book at the end of May. For those of you unfamiliar with the classification system we use, it is the European classification for industry sectors called NACE, NACE categorization. As we move toward the second half of 2020, we are migrating this large NACE classification system into a more simplified credit classification system. We found that the NACE classification to be somewhat overcomplicated, and the manner in which the trade desk and treasury underwrites trades, NACE was not giving us the information that we needed. So where NACE has some 1,000+ categories that are granular in nature, we prefer to broaden our outlook to encompass risk in a more comprehensive and general manner. So where NACE will have 30 subcategories for mining and quarrying, our credit classification will have only one, mining. For us, there may be a difference between open cast mining or quarrying and deep mining, but from a trade receivable risk perspective, we are more concerned with what we call the players in the trade, namely, who's the miner, who's the customer or debtor, what's the product being mined, what's its primary and secondary market value, and our risk exposure on that trade. So we'll update you more on this credit classification system in June as we prepare to roll it out in the second half of the year. Returning back to the actual performance of the exchange in May of this year versus May 2019, you can see that the trading volumes were down 57%, but this is a pullback to the positive from the low point recorded in April. As I mentioned earlier, the strong first quarter enabled us to achieve on par results with those of 2019 because we were strongly ahead by the end of quarter one by almost 30%. So we predicted in March and April that May's numbers would be weak, and this proved to be the case. As we can see in the past few weeks alone, people are returning to work and industries are slowly starting to move again. So all going back to good trading, thankfully. Earlier, I spoke about the credit index of 115. And next to that, you can see we still have more than six creditors or debtors and creditors at month end in May. As mentioned in prior investment conference calls, relative to the number of trading companies in Ireland, this is a significant and statistically strong reference point when considering the Irish market. So we believe this credit index is a strong indicator of how credit control and payment cycles are performing in Ireland at any moment. And to finish on our performance in May, the largest single trade was over €1 million at €1,060,000. As Andrew will explain later in this presentation, the average value of an ETR is circa €2,000, but we have traded ETR where the value has been less than €1. And as you can see, last month, the largest one was valued at more than €1 million. This particular trade, like the one in March, was for livestock export out of Ireland into Libya against a letter of credit out of London. Since entering the trade finance market back in 2016, this has steadily grown to become a central offering in many of the credit facility deals we fund. In 2018, trade finance was more than 30% of our business. This year, it may be as high as 40 or even 50%. We like these trades because as the deal size grow, they often feature letters of credit where the ultimate debtors are banks. During the second half of 2020, there will be a considerable investment in this area by the company. As some of you may already be aware, we opened an office in Birmingham at the end of this at the beginning of this quarter. And already Mark Runievich, with some 30 years of experience in banking and trade finance within the banking sector, has made considerable inroads in this market for us. With the help of Harry Parkinson and the rest of the team here in Dublin, we look forward to becoming a significant player in this specialist market sector. Moving to the trend section of the May briefing, we can see that the investors' yield or buy price during May averaged 1.854. This was again 1 point higher than April and continues 1 basis point higher than April and continues to show the marked stability of our market from March through May, although it was 10 basis points lower than the January and February figures. Having said that, May started at a high of 1.887 and ended the period at the lower rate of 1.824. As most of you are aware, this rate changes daily and can be checked anytime on the investable.com website homepage. Just to discuss trend a little more detail, the graph on the right shows the movement during the month. And as the briefing states, we expect that the prevailing rate will remain below 1.92% as it has done for the past year. But we expected that there would be an upward trend in that to meet originator demand. The originator demand's been slightly slow coming out of the traps since the first phase of return to work occurred last month. But we have and remain predicting that the rate will increase above 2%. It hasn't happened in June like we expected, and largely speaking due to the coronavirus, but we do expect it to happen in quarter three. And then to finish the briefing, you will see a repeat of the active RSA or revolving sale agreement of $22.43 million. So that is the finish of the briefing. Thank you very much.